In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. We give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Every Town podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
On this episode, a documentary filmmaker reopens the cold case file on the death of former UN Secretary General Dag Hammarskjöld.
What can be seen on the pictures of Hammarskjöld's body shot after the crash, he's lying on a stretcher on the floor of the jungle, and in his shirt collar you can clearly see a playing card. For a long time, rumors have been circulating that it is in fact the death card, the Ace of Spades.
This podcast is brought to you by Reverse Speech Radio, a podcast committed to telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Using the exact same technology as the CIA, they know because they trained them. Join hosts Christian Decadure and David John Oates every week and hear never-before-heard reversals, revealing the hidden truth. Catch politicians lying, climb inside the head of serial killers, even hear EVPs played in reverse. Who's lying? Who's telling the truth? All will be revealed on Reverse Speech Radio. New episodes drop every Thursday. Find out more at reversespeech.ca. Listen and subscribe at reversespeechradio.libsyn.com.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett. Pursuing the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from his studio beneath the stairs, here's Richard Serrett.
Welcome to your Wednesday. Well, we're down to our final 2 days here in Veriga in southern Greece, and Friday we'll be heading to Athens, where we've rented a short stay apartment, just a short walk from the Parthenon. And then from there, we'll be flying back to Toronto on September the 4th, and just a few days after that, I'll be back in studio hosting Coast to Coast AM Saturday, September the 7th, and Sunday, September the 8th. Mads Brugger is the director of a new documentary film that premiered at the Sundance Film Festival earlier this year. It's called Cold Case Hammarskjöld and re-examines the facts surrounding the former UN Secretary General's death in a plane crash in northern Rhodesia back in September 1961. Dag Hammarskjöld, a former economist from Sweden, was on his way to negotiate a peace settlement between the Republic of Congo and the breakaway region of Katanga when his plane crashed near the airport in Ndola, killing all aboard. The crash was officially blamed on pilot error, but now, nearly six decades after the death of the man JFK called the greatest diplomat of the 20th century, there's an impressive body of credible evidence pointing to Hammarskjöld's likely assassination. Mads Brugger is a Danish filmmaker and TV host. His first two films, Danes for Bush and The Red Chapel, are ironic documentaries filmed in the United States and North Korea, respectively. In October 2011, he released a new documentary, The Ambassador, about the trading of diplomatic titles in Africa. Brugger impersonated a Liberian ambassador by purchasing a new identity on a black market, and then proceeded to expose the ease with which people holding diplomatic titles can exploit the gem trade. As a result of the revelations in the documentary, the government of Liberia has taken legal steps to prosecute Brugger and the other participants due to the embarrassment his work has done to the country. However, as of July 2012, the Danish government has not been presented with a formal demand for the extradition of Brugger. Mads Brugger, welcome to Conspiracy Unlimited. How are you?
I'm very fine, thank you, Richard. Thank you for having me on the show.
Tell me what it was about the Dag Hammarskjöld cold case that intrigued you such that you decided to make a film.
Well, for starters, the idea that someone would dare to assassinate the UN Secretary General is in itself very, you know, captivating. For me, it was reading a newspaper article back in 2011 about the work of a private Swedish researcher named Björn Bergdahl, who was busy tracking down the remaining black witnesses who were on the ground and saw and heard the plane crash in which Hammarskjöld was killed right on the border between the Congo and what was northern Rhodesia back then. And they tell a story which is very different from the official version. They saw another plane in the air shooting at the Hammarskjöld's plane and encountered other suspicious activities.
And for those not familiar with the former Secretary General, Dag Hammarskjöld, just give us a bit of a character sketch of this gentleman.
Sure. Dag Hammarskjöld, he was a Swedish aristocrat. And in 1953, he becomes the second UN Secretary General. And today, he is still considered the gold standard of what a UN Secretary General should be. It was very much Dag Hammarskjöld who defined what the United Nations is about. And during his reign, a lot of countries was gaining independence, and Dag Hammarskjöld saw it as one of the most important tasks from the UN to protect these newly independent countries from their old colonial masters, which made him gradually a nuisance for old world powers such as the UK and France. He also had a fallout with the Russians. And in the end, it was a bit like, you know, Murder in the Orient Express. A lot of the members of the Security Council had a motive for wanting to come. They were basically hating his guts.
Yes, let's talk about, I mean, when he rose to the Secretary General, people weren't expecting him really to be as bold and as iron-willed as he turned out to be. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. He was considered a boring and a docile Swedish bureaucrat, but was in fact the very opposite. He was highly driven by ideals. He was a humanist, and as you say, extremely strong-willed.
And his view of Africa, his approach to Africa, which was just emerging from the era of colonization, colonialism, just emerging from the era of colonialism. Yes. Describe his philosophy with regards to Africa.
Well, he was spending a lot of time traveling around Africa, meeting with new heads of states of newly independent countries. He was going up against apartheid in South Africa. All this, climaxed in what was known as the Congo crisis, when the eastern part of the Congo seceded, declared independence, a province known as Katanga, and a civil war broke out. And basically, Katanga was the fiefdom of a giant Belgian-British mining conglomerate named Union Minière, and they were running Katanga as their personal property. And they were bringing in a lot of mercenaries to defend the independence of Katanga, and the Kamerschild mobilized and launched a UN-led military operation against this private army, in fact, and that backfired because the UN underestimated the capacities of the mercenaries, and because of that, Dag Hammarskjöld had to, go to the Congo himself in order to broker a peace deal, and that is when he was killed.
And why did Hammarskjöld? Why did he favor the Congo, the central authority, rather than the Katangan independence?
Well, he was a believer in, protecting the and upholding the territorial integrity of the Congo. Also because, Katanga is the treasure trove of the Congo. It is where all the minerals of or most of the minerals of the Congo is to be found, enormous amounts of copper, uranium, gold, everything you would be needing to, financing a prosperous future for the Congo. So if Katanga was allowed to break away from the Congo, it would mean the ruin of the Congo as a nation state. But it would also, in de facto, be a continuation of colonialism, because the powers who had interest in Katanga being independent was the UK, Belgium, and France, but also the Americans, because Union Minière was mining the uranium used for the first American atomic bombs in Katanga, free of charge, by the way. So this had to be dealt with, seen from a United Nations point of view.
And so talk to me about how the Congo really developed into kind of a proxy war at the height of the Cold War.
Well, the first head of state in the Congo, Patrice Lumumba, he began talking with the Russians, and the Russians brought in military advisors, and all of this, made the Congo a proving ground for a conflict between the East and the West. And finally, Lumumba gets assassinated. He is kidnapped in Leopoldville, flown to Katanga, where he is tortured and murdered by a death squad. His body is decomposed in sulfuric acid provided by Union Minière, by the way. And the Russians are asked, to to leave the Congo, which they do. And from then on, the Congo evolved into a never-ending tragedy, basically.
So, in September of 1961, Hammarskjöld is in this DC-6 en route to peace talks with the leader of Katanga. Just describe the final moments of that flight.
Well, around midnight, just as Hammarskjöld's plane, which is nicknamed the Albertina, by the way, named after a popular rumba song in the Congo back then, just as it is about to land around midnight at Ndola Airport, instead of landing, it flies over the airport, and the British dignitary, Lord Lansdowne, who is waiting for him on the tarmac together with other dignitaries, VIPs and diplomats, he simply says, he must have decided to go elsewhere. And then, all leave the airport, and nothing is known about what happened to Dag Hammarskjöld before 15 hours later, when the wreckage is officially discovered approximately 8 miles from the airport. It crashes there around midnight. There's an enormous fire which burns continuously into the morning hours. And when they finally reach the crash site, most of the passengers are in bits and pieces, looking like charcoal. Apart from Hammarskjöld, whose body is remarkably intact and undamaged.
Yes. Now let's talk about some of the evidence, the mountain of evidence, really, that suggests that this was not pilot error, but that his plane was actually shot down. Let's begin with, as you say, the pristine, almost pristine condition of Hammarskjöld's body. But there's also a couple of other interesting things. One, someone described what appears to have been perhaps a bullet hole in his forehead.
Yes, that is not something we deal with in the film. A UN official who was working with Hammarskjöld, a man named Bjørn Ege, a Norwegian, he saw, he's not alive anymore, by the way. He died from old age, I should add. But he claimed that he saw Hammarskjöld's body, as far as I recollect, the day after the crash, and he saw a bullet hole in the head of Dag Hammarskjöld, which he a knowledge he dealt with. He shared with his wife and other people, and he was very insistent on this. Experience until the end of his life, and there are people who are sure about the photos of Hammarskjöld after the crash, that they have been doctored to remove any marks of a bullet wound.
But perhaps even more compelling is this playing card that's placed on Hammarskjöld's body. Tell me about the Ace of Spades.
That is a weird anomaly. And in my mind, one of the most intriguing and interesting details. You could even argue that it defines everything that is mysterious about the death of Dag Hammarskjöld. What can be seen on the pictures of Hammarskjöld's body shot after the crash? He's lying on a stretcher on the floor of the jungle, and in his shirt collar you can clearly see a playing card, but you cannot, from the pictures, say what kind of playing card it is. But for a long time, rumors have been circulating that it is, in fact, the Death Card, the Ace of Spades. I managed to track down the only civilian photographer who was allowed to enter the press site in the hours after the wreckage was found. He said that a British police officer told him that it was the Ace of Spades, and he asked the photographer, a man named Norman Kinmart, to keep quiet about this. And that simply remains extremely, you know, intriguing.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all enjoy a little mystery. Every other week, One Strange Thing presents forgotten stories from America's newspaper archives. They all have something in common, a single element that can't quite be explained. Join us on One Strange Thing, and you'll hear about a man who was literally stricken with genius. A 21st century child who remembered piloting a World War II bomber. A mysterious, unidentifiable blob in Texas. And then there was the lizard man stalking through small-town South Carolina. From cryptids and disappearances to modern-day miracles, One Strange Thing brings you stories that are very real and just a little otherworldly. Subscribe now, wherever you listen.
Have you ever wondered why we call French fries French fries? Or why something is the greatest thing since sliced bread? There are answers to those questions. Everything Everywhere Daily is a podcast for curious people who want to learn more about the world around them. Every day, you'll learn something new about things you never knew you didn't know. Subjects include history, science, geography, mathematics, and culture. If you're a curious person and want to learn more about the world you live in, just subscribe to Everything Everywhere Daily wherever you cast your pod.
Overwhelmed by investing?
If you're anything like us, the hardest part is getting started. That's why we created the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Our goal is to help simplify money so it can work for you.
We invite guests to demystify investing.
At least try to be setting aside like the minimum 10% into the 401k.
We'll teach you the basics of the market.
Yeah, I think compound interest should be at the start of any discussion about investing. And
we've had investment professionals who teach in a simple way.
A valuation-driven bear market. You know, we haven't really seen yet, and I think everyone's thinking about it, but we haven't really seen yet.
Our Q&A episodes feature questions from listeners just like you.
So what do you think about the situation with ETBI, which is Activision?
I'm Dave Ahern.
And I'm Andrew Sather.
And we hope you join us on the Investing for Beginners podcast.
On the Investing for Beginners podcast.
More of my conversation with film director Mads Brugger when Conspiracy Unlimited returns. Let me get Colleen Forgas in here. She's our newest partner. She manages the Strange Planet Dispensary, and she's a professional chef and nutritional therapy consultant. Colleen, welcome back to Conspiracy Unlimited. How are you?
I'm great, Richard. Thanks for having me again today. I'm so excited.
You know, I spend a lot of time, 8 hours a day probably, staring into a computer screen. I know there are a lot of people out there like that. Is there anything in our full script dispensary that can help with eye health?
Yes, there definitely is. There's a product called Vision Optimizer by Yarrow Formulas. That's J-A-R-R-O-W. I've used this product with clients who have experienced floaters in their eyes, have had ocular migraines from staring at screens all day long. This product is a full complement of different nutrients that are beneficial for the eyes, and it can even help stave off macular degeneration, which is a horrible disease that often happens as we get older. So I really recommend Vision Optimizer by Yarrow Formulas.
Terrific. And again, all people need to do is go to strangeplanet.ca and click on the button that says Strange Planet Full Script Dispensary. Just click on that. And we should also remind people that they get 10% off all orders, 10% off, and on orders of $50 and more, they get free shipping.
That's right.
Strange Planet's Full Script Dispensary. Nature grade, science made. The statements made herein have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. If you have any concerns about your own health, you should always consult with a physician or healthcare professional.
The truth goes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Then, it is violently opposed. Finally, it is accepted as self-evident.
Let me just read that again. I don't know what that means.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
Mads Brügger is a Danish filmmaker, and we're discussing his new documentary film, Cold Case Hammarskjöld. In the film, you interview a number of witnesses. Now, we're going back almost 60 years, almost six decades, but you interview a number of witnesses who saw the plane basically fall out of the sky, crash. Tell me about what they saw.
Well, it is thanks to the work of private Swedish researcher Jörn Dahl that we found and interviewed these remaining black witnesses. Approximately 11 of them are still alive. And what they have in common is most of them saw another plane in the air, a small, what they describe as a small jet fighter, which is shooting at the commercial plane, that the plane catches fire and crashes whilst burning. Other of the witnesses, that is not in the film, encounter almost immediately after the crash white soldiers in camouflage fatigues, who warn them off and tell them to leave the area of the crash. And I think, you know, it's you know, very compelling and also highly interesting what they have to tell, because it deviates in many ways from the official version, which still is that the commercial plane crashed because of pilot error.
Perhaps the smoking gun here also is the testimony of Charles Southall. Explain who he is and what he witnessed.
Yes, Charles Southall, who is not anymore, unfortunately, was a U.S. Navy officer and working for the National Security Agency and based at a U.S. Navy radio relay station on the island of Cyprus in the Mediterranean. And he being phoned by the base commander, who tells him to come down to the station because, quote, something interesting is going to happen around midnight. And he goes there and they receive a recording of, as he explains, a Belgian mercenary pilot known amongst NSA personnel as the Lone Ranger, who is shooting at the commercial plane, and the pilot explains about how the plane has caught fire, and soon after he says it is crashed. And that recording they process and ship off to Washington, where it has never been seen or heard about since. I think, as you also imply, that is a very essential affidavit in the case about the Dakamashut.
Following the end of apartheid in South Africa and the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, we received this report from Archbishop Desmond Tutu about the existence of this South African paramilitary, very covert paramilitary outfit. Tell me about that report.
Well, at the end of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, they have a final press conference in Cape Town, and during that conference, Desmond Tutu releases a set of documents which were discovered in the vaults of South African intelligence. And These documents allegedly comes from this shadowy, sinister underground militia named the South African Institute for Maritime Research, or in short, SIMR. And they outline a plot to kill Dag Hammarskjöld and also suggest that SIMR was working in collusion with British and American intelligence, and also with the British-Belgian mining conglomerate Union Minière, who were the rulers of Katanga. And and these documents, you know, remains extremely interesting, not at least because almost immediately after the presentation of the documents, the originals vanished in South African state archives. And to this day, nobody have been able to explain how these documents could vanish, and if they are still, you know, around, which is of course important, because if you want to get certitude about the authenticity of the documents, it's important to have the originals.
It has been suggested by skeptics that they were Soviet forgeries. Would you care to weigh in on that?
Well, it is a known fact that Soviet intelligence was very active in South Africa, also, you know, propping up and supporting the ANC. But it is also a common response, you know, if you discover, you know, documents from British intelligence, to suggest that this is in fact Soviet misinformation. There are no, you know, credible proof which suggests that this has anything to do with Russia at all. Quite the contrary. In the film, I meet the former head of the military intelligence in South Africa, a general named Gene Grunewald, who met with the last known commander of SIMR, a man named Keith Maxwell, in the final days of the apartheid regime. And Grunewald testifies that he was absolutely convinced that Maxwell was financed and directed by British intelligence, because he says that Maxwell knew people in London whom you only know if you are, you know, a made man, so to speak.
Tell me about the interview with Alexander Jones, who is the former SIMR militia member.
Yes. It's important to understand that before my film, you know, apart from Maxwell, we have never, you know, seen or heard from other members of SIMR with, you know, their full name and their face. So that is really a landmark discovery to encounter other possible members of SIMR. Alexander Jones was a lieutenant in SIMR. I think he was considered, you know, a young white hope. He was very close to Maxwell. And he took part in SIMR operations in South Africa, but also outside of South Africa. According to him, he took part in assassinations, operations with the purpose of destabilization of other African countries. And but as I also say in the film, he offers no documentation, documents, photos, personal effects, which proves that he was a member of SIMR. But he is on a list of names of men who applied to adverts from SIMR, where they were looking for mercenary recruits. And that is how we found him. And he also knows things about Maxwell, which you would only know if you had actually met with him. So I consider Alexander Jones to be a credible witness.
What started off as an investigation into the possible assassination of Dag Hammarskjöld actually ends up being something even far more nefarious, and that has to do with the possible deliberate spread of AIDS in Africa. Obviously, I don't want you to give everything away here. We want people to see the film, but just give us a sense of where that's going.
Well, quite early on, because of discovering a partly unfinished fictionalized memoir written by Maxwell, and also because of documents from the archives of Saimaa, it became apparent that Maxwell was obsessed with the HIV virus and also the possibility of using AIDS as a biological weapon and a way to eradicate black people in South Africa. During our work, we discovered that Maxwell was running a number of clinics in the black townships where he was experimenting on black patients. And you should note that Maxwell had no medical training whatsoever. He was basically posing as a doctor. We meet a witness who saw him giving his patients injections. And we also discovered a strategy paper written by Maxwell where he writes about how you should introduce HIV amongst the population in countries neighboring with South Africa, and then having, you know, refugees fleeing from the virus or the epidemic venture into South Africa, and there they will mingle with the South African black population and thereby spread the virus. It's absolutely horrific and nightmarish. And it's important to emphasize that apart from, you know, in the film we meet two persons, or we learn about two persons who had the experience of taking part in a vaccination program run by Saimaa. But a lot of, you know, more research is needed before we can say for sure if this was something which actually happened, and also, you know, what was the size, scale, and scope of this alleged program.
Getting back to the possible assassination of Dag Hammarskjöld, are you at all confident that there will be another investigation, official inquiry into his death?
Well, actually, there is an ongoing investigation under the auspices of the United Nations. It is being led by an African Tanzanian judge named Utman, and they will publish a report in, as far as I know, the middle of early September, middle of September. And according to rumors, it is leaning on that Hammarskjöld was in fact assassinated. And that report will probably be beginning of another and more in-depth investigation.
Cold Case Hammarskjöld debuted at the Sundance Film Festival earlier this year. How can people see it now?
Well, it is in cinemas in America, and also available on VOD on Hulu and Amazon Prime, as I believe. And yes, it's around.
Cold Case Hammarskjöld. Mads Brugger, thank you so much and congratulations.
Thank you very much, sir. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Okay, before I say goodnight to the moon over Messenia, I'll be back to tell you a little bit about an upcoming episode of Conspiracy Unlimited. Have you checked out my Strange Planet shop yet? We just launched our brand new Nazca Lines merch. Mugs, t-shirts, tote bags, and stickers. I've partnered with a talented artist from Phoenix, and you have to see these cool designs for yourself. The Nazca Lines t-shirts are available for a limited time only. Right now, you can purchase the t-shirts at a special price of $18.50 US. But this deal won't last long. To start shopping, go to strangeplanet.ca and click on the Strange Planet Shop button. Get your Nazca Lines merch at strangeplanet.ca. It's a strange planet. Wear the shirt. Take the journey. Coming up next, a special bonus episode of Conspiracy Unlimited, Thursdays with Ronnie, Join me and Ronnie McMullen in conversation as we discuss the deliberate dumbing down in schools.
They're working so hard for us to just be zombies. Probably why we have to watch all these programs of zombies. They want us to just be zombies, just drugged out people, never coming against their authority. That sounds like New World Order stuff to me.
Until then, I'm Richard Serrett. So long for now. Kalinichta.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com. Blow your mind. That is all for now. Oh, and remember to share and give a 5-star review because we have huge egos and need love. We're like cats. We need constant petting.